Well, we return to read the scriptures again once more. I'm going to read again Job chapter 8. We considered the opening verses this morning up to the end of verse 10. I want to consider the last verses of the chapter starting at verse 11. But let us hear this entire chapter. Job chapter number 8. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long wilt thou speak these things, and how long shalt the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God prefer judgment, or doth the Almighty prefer justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he hath cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldst seek unto God betimes and make thy supplications to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers, for we are of but yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee, and tell thee, and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness, and not only cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught." May God help us rightly divide this particular section of God's word this afternoon. You may be seated. As I return your attention to this first verbal assault of Bildad the Shuhite against Job, because he will come at him again, having considered only a part of what he sought to assault Job with in the morning message, I return to his words, mentioning briefly again the important truths to keep in mind as I try to consider what he declares in verses 11 to 22 this afternoon. The first is that without the opening and closing chapters of this book, it would be very difficult to discern what is going on. The hater and adversary of Job's redeemed soul has challenged the true and correct understanding of Job by the living, true, and only God, with the result that this fallen, hate-filled adversary of both Job and all mankind, whether saved from his deceiving powers or still ignorant and dismissive of them, has been assaulting the absolute true testimony of God about Job by assaulting Job in the ways revealed in the opening chapters, to the point that he has been able to assault him personally short of taking his redeemed life. Even using, as I have been seeking to show you, his three manipulated and deceived friends. Brethren, all suffering in this world is due to the fall of man into sin, choosing to listen to the father of lies, the devil, rather than the Lord God of truth. But not all suffering is due to personal sinning. For it would not surprise me in the least that in varying and numerous ways you have suffered and may yet have to suffer due to the sins of others. Because what does the Lord declare that the sins of the father can result in?
they can affect those who follow them to the third and fourth generation. What suffering will this generation have to face because of those who have preceded us, who have labored to have the truth of the Word of God ridiculed, rejected, and removed? And lies and the wicked ideas and practices flowing from this rejection coming in like a flood. Because let's just be honest, brethren, if you could go back even 50 years in our generation and say there would a time in the United States of America where the things being discussed, the things being decided, the things being decreed by the current president and Congress would now be accepted. I'm sure that even 50 years ago, people would say it'll never take place. And yet, when you reject God's word of truth, the only thing that can flow in to take its place is darkness, not light. For if you do not think we are seeing evidences of the Lord giving the culture we live in over to a reprobate mind because of its rejection of his sexual absolutes, you are not facing how much this reprobate culture has and is influencing. But if you are to correctly understand what is taking place in this lengthy section, you not only need, as I said, the opening chapters to illuminate what is going on for you, but you also need the Lord's words in the closing chapters. Yes, Job is rebuked in the closing chapters, but he is the one that his three friends must seek out and appeal to for intercession before the Lord because they have not spoken of the Lord correctly. So though there are things that Job's three friends say in their assault against him, that even though they may say things that are true or have the odor of truth about them, because of how they are using what they are saying, that is the context and the purpose behind what they are saying, must be taken into consideration unless you find yourself doing the same things that Bildad and his two friends repeatedly do. And what is that? Misapply truth. And I will illustrate the truth of what Bildad is doing as well as his other two friends before trying to show this from the verses we have reached. But I will use painting to try and illustrate what I mean. Now, if you were to ask someone to paint the color debatable wall behind me, and that person came in with a brush used to do fine detail work on an 8.5 by 11 piece of watercolor paper, what would you say? You'd say, that's not the purpose of that brush. Unless you intend to spend hours, if not days, if not weeks, painting the wall. Or for that matter, if you were to ask an artist to do some fine detail work for you on that same 8.5 by 11 piece of watercolor paper I mentioned, and he came in with a 12-inch wide roller in attempt to do the detailing, what would you say? You would say that the roller has a useful purpose, but not for doing fine detail work. And you would say that the fine-tipped paintbrush has a useful purpose, but not for painting a huge wall. Bildad, you are using a roller when a fine-tipped brush of compassion and care should be used in your speaking to Job. And the truth that you are trying to overwhelm Job with to get him to confess that something is not the way that truth is to be used. We're to speak the truth in love, not as a weapon of assault. Because what does Bildad do? He does something that Eliphaz has already done, and what makes, as I said, this lengthy section such a challenge. And they will all continue to do this, even pompous Elihu. So if you find it challenging to listen and understand correctly all that these four men assault Job with verbally, as I said this morning, just think of what it must have been like for Job, who was not sitting in a comfortable meeting house like you are. I repeat what I said this morning, given expanding on it a bit. It is amazing that Job did not kick all these men out as they continued to assault him or attempted to flee their presence. Because what does Proverbs 14:7 say? Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. But just as Satan was being restrained by the sovereign hand of the Lord over him from killing Job, Job was being sustained by the sovereign hand of the Lord to endure this verbal assault until the Lord brings it to an end. But what truth does Bildad misapply and assault Job with in the verses we have reached? He misapplies a truth of God's created order. He misapplies a truth of God's created order. He uses an analogy drawn from God's good but fallen creation and then misuses it and misapplies it, just like the artist I said who would try to do fine detail work with a 12-inch roller. For what truth of God's good but sadly fallen creation does Bildad use in his assault against Job? The consequences for plants due to a lack of water and nutrients. Verses 11 and 12. Can the rush or the bulrush grow up without mire or soil? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greatness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. Now don't miss the subtlety of what Bildad is doing here. He is misusing a soul-benefiting truth that you should all seek to grow in doing, but not in the way that Bildad is doing it. What do I mean? He is taking a truth about God's good but fallen creation and applying it spiritually to Job's situation, but he's doing it incorrectly. You should use God's good but fallen creation to remind you of spiritual truth, but not in the way that Bildad does. For he takes the truth about a plant's need for water and soil, and he makes a spiritual application of it to Job's situation that is incorrect. But does the fact that Bildad misuses this beneficial principle mean you should discard it or misuse it? Absolutely not. Realize that it can be misused, like I will show with Bildad in a moment, but you, believer, should seek to use it correctly. Because can a plant survive without water? No. Neither can you survive in this soul drying up, soul-deceiving world without the water of life, the Word of God. For if you think you will not wither and die without a constant intake of the spiritual life-producing and promoting Word of God, you will be cut down and wither like the bulrush that lacks water. Use God's good but fallen creation, believer, to feed and nurture your soul as it is illuminated by the Word of God. Bildad misapplies this principle, as I will show. But dear brethren, Bildad misapplies this principle, as I said, I will show. But you live in a culture that doesn't even misapply it. It totally ignores it. It totally ignores this glorious principle. It doesn't misapply it. It totally ignores it. Because I'll ask you, how many times last week or how many times this week will you hear some spiritual truth being spoken of and applied because of some aspect of God's good but fallen creation? How many times last week did you hear that? How many times this week will you hear it? How many times last week did you hear? Did you hear that the Lord is giving us a cool spring? Did you hear that the Lord is giving us rain today? Or that as you see the trees start to burst forth in their foliage, did you hear some weatherman or weather lady, as long as it's safe to say man or lady in our culture? Did you hear some weatherman or weather lady say that the trees of the Lord are full of sap, and praise him for his faithfulness in giving us his seasons? Did you? Why are you shaking your head and saying no? Because you didn't hear that. Bildad misapplies using the creation to teach spiritual truth, and he misapplies it, I'll show in a moment. But dear believer, you live in a culture that doesn't even seek to apply this glorious principle. Because I am sure that you heard more than once, if you regularly listen to any type of weather announcement, you heard more than once the idol Mother Nature involved. Or grumbling about the weather. I think that's a universal sin of the non-believer. It doesn't take long for a non-believer to show he's a non-believer. Just have him have to deal with weather he doesn't like and spoils his plans, and he will start grumbling and complaining. Or the problems that man-made climate change will cause, unless you curtail the use of your air conditioner as the temperatures rise because the Pope said so. See, Bildad misuses a glorious biblical principle of using the creation to point us to spiritual truth. But dear brethren, you live in a culture that never uses it. Because I'll ask you, come to me next week with any example from the newspapers or the television or the radio where someone took some aspect of this good but fallen creation and said, consider the lilies of the field. They neither labor nor spin. You are more worth. For a sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from your heavenly Father's will. That roadkill, sadly, that you'll see in varying ways, remember, that's a reminder that you live in a fallen world. I ask you, how many times this week will you do that apart from your own application of the truth of the word? Bildad is saying to Job, consider the bulrush, not as a means to help him, but to assault him with something that is not true with respect to him. Yes, Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, because they neither toil nor spin, but he told us to consider them, not to assault us, but to testify to the care of a believer's heavenly Father in the midst of all the trials and difficulties you face in this brief life, believer. Brethren, Bildad takes a truth about God's good but fallen creation and misuses it. You should be taking God's good but fallen creation and seeking to suck all the truth out of it that you can for the benefit and blessing of your soul. Because I fear Not only do you live in a culture that never even mentions this, for I fear that one of the things that dwelling in bodies that have been affected by sin is that it is so easy to take God's amazing, good, but fallen creation for granted. Not just misuse it like Bildad does, but ignore it or become indifferent to all the truth that it could remind us of, with the Word of God being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path as you go for a walk or a hike. But how does Bildad misuse truth about God's good but fallen creation? He is telling Job that he is going through all he is going through because he is just like that bulrush that can't survive without water. Job, you are going through all that you are going through because you can't survive without God. You are a hypocrite. You have forgotten God, because just like a bulrush without water and mire can't survive, because if you were really walking closely with God, if you were really the Coram Deo man, the man walking with God that you have presented yourself to be, you would be not going through what you're presently going through. You have withered and you are about to be cut down like that water-famished bulrush, so you must be a God-forsaking hypocrite, because no Coram Deo man, because no one truly feeding himself on the truth and truths of God would be in your condition. Verse 11 and 12, verse 11 to 14, can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? While it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. Verse 13, so are, notice he's applying this truth now to Job, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. What Bildad is doing here can be captured by modifying a line from a popular song. New boss, same as the old boss. Or new assaulter, Bildad, same as the old assaulter, Eliphaz. The song is remaining the same. The key may have changed, as we debated about whether to lower the key in this previous hymn. The song is remaining the same. The key may have changed, but Bildad is still continuing to do what Eliphaz did. Assault Job. Now, is it true that the hypocrite's hope shall perish? Absolutely. 100% true. Because what does Jesus do? Jesus repeatedly warns about the danger of hypocrisy to the preeminent examples of hypocrisy in the scribes and Pharisees of his day. Just mark down Matthew 23 and read through Matthew 23, and how many times, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! He's warning them. But dear brethren, what is no sure fire evidence of being a hypocrite? The very thing that Bildad, like Eliphaz before him, thought, but is not true. That going through what Job is going through is sure evidence of being a God-forsaking hypocrite. Verses 15 to 19, he shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch showeth forth in his garden. Excuse me. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the places of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Not only is what Bildad saying to Job not true with respect to Job, and who knows how many other true saints who have been sifted to varying degrees by Satan, but don't fail to notice, for the cutting and cruel nature of his words may be different from Eliphaz's, but they are still cutting and cruel words to someone going through what Job is going through. Dear brethren, the lack of love and the lack of compassion that can be demonstrated through the tongue. We're to speak the truth in love. But not only a lack of love, but regardless of how many different ways something that is not true can be said, it's still not true. An error and a lie does not become correct and true because it can be described and illustrated in more than one way. Bildad is describing his error by making reference to a bulrush that lacks water, but it's still wrong. It's still an error. The fact that you can get men and women with amazing artistic talent to describe how mythical prehistoric man looked like. You ever seen those pictures? Have you ever gone to the Museum of Science and looked at those panoramas where they've had the mythical prehistoric man? Because, dear brethren, prehistoric is eternity. There's no such thing as prehistory. Prehistory began in the Garden of Eden. Time began in the Garden of Eden. There's no such thing as prehistoric man. But the fact that you can get men and women with amazing artistic talent to describe how mythical prehistoric man looked like and lived. Oh, look, that's how Cro-Magnon man lived. Look, there's his facial features and there's his bone structure. They use one bone to grow a whole man. But that does... the reality of that does not change that their excellent works of art are lies and deceptions. The fact that men can describe their errors as Bildad does here does not change that lie and deception into a truth. Dear brethren, the fact that there are more books in the public libraries written describing and illustrating the lie of evolution rather than the truth of six-day unique creation by God does not change these demonic deceptions into truth any more than what Bildad was saying to Job. A lie presented as the truth is still a lie, regardless of how it's dressed up. Nor is it any less a lie because Bildad does what Eliphaz did. He gives Job the impression that Job should be listening to him because of the word that begins verse 19 and verse 20. What word begins verse 19? Behold! This is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Verse 20, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoer. Job, you should be listening to me. Behold, it's not possible that someone who is walking with God, who is the perfect and holy man that you made yourself out to be, could be going through what you have and are going through. God does not help evildoers. You are going through evil. Therefore, you must have committed some pretty evil things. Just admit it, Job, and your mouth will be filled with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. All you have to do is confess what I know is true about you and what Eliphaz knows is true about you, and all those that have been mocking and ridiculing you because of what you've been going through will all be behind you. But what is the fundamental problem with all that Bildad has been saying to Job? Not only that Job knows the futility and folly of being a hypocrite, as he declares in the opening verse of the next chapter, but Job is not the hypocrite and evil person that Bildad, like Eliphaz, is making him out to be and wants so desperately to get him to admit to their lies about him. Dear brethren, when you know something is true, like Job did, for Job knew that Eliphaz was seeking to get him to admit something about himself that was not true. The most dangerous thing for Job to have done would have been to agree with Bildad. Job did not agree with Bildad. He was not about to agree with Bildad just because he presented his errors and lies about him in different ways. Believer, follow Job's example. Regardless of how many present a lie, regardless of how many different ways they try to dress up and adorn their lie, if what they say or teach contradicts the teaching of the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, stand with him and not against him. As long as Matthew 19:4 is in the Bible, have you not read from the beginning, he hath made them male and female. I don't care how many presidents, I don't care how many senators, I don't care how many governors, I don't care how many elected representatives say, well, we got to vote because we got to get elected. I don't care. Jesus said it. That settles it. End of discussion. You can wrap this lie up in all the flowery language and compassionate language that you want, but it's still a lie. There are two genders, and there will only be two genders as long as God sits on his throne and man is made in the image of God. Because standing with the truth, as it is found and declared by the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ is the safest and most blessed place to stand in a world that is destroying itself by believing all the lies that it currently believes should be believed. And oh, all the flowery language that can be used to wrap that evil up does not change that evil, does not change that lie into truth. This world, dear brethren, is being destroyed by the lies it is constantly telling itself and believing. Do you know the blessing of having eternal life? Because there is only one you know you need to listen to and believe on, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are believing on him and listening to him alone, then you know the freedom that this lie-believing world will never know unless it turns from the lies it believes. The lies of this devil-deceived world and turns by God's almighty to the one who is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the freedom that this believing world will never know unless it turns from the lies it believes are true to the one who will never mislead you, believer? The one who will never forsake you, believer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can listen to and believe the lies of this devil-deceived world, or you can listen to and believe the words of the one who is the truth and speaks nothing but the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can listen to this devil-deceived, lying world, or you can listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no third option. Because he who is not with the Lord Jesus Christ is against. You can listen to this dark, devil-deceived world and all the lies that it presents as truth, or you can listen to the one who is the truth and speaks nothing but the truth. There is no third option. Who are you listening? And who are you believing on? Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, what a testimony to your amazing grace and mercy that you would deliver men from all the lies they have believed to be true.
whether it's religious lies or scientific lies or political lies or philosophical lies or whatever lie that lie might be, dressed up in however many ways it can be dressed up. Oh, look at that wonderful piece of art. There's Cro-Magnon man and how he lived when he walked on the earth X number of millions of years ago. But then there is the word of God that says in the beginning, man, God created the male and female. Oh, Lord, there is truth. And then there is lies dressed up as truth. And we live in a world that is destroying itself with lies dressed in the idea that they are true. We live at a time in a sad, sobering state, Lord, where there are those who are trying to say there are more than two genders. But Lord, you have clearly told us more than once, in the beginning, God created them and made them male and female. And so we pray, O Lord, when you have spoken, we will be kept from all the foolish and false and dangerous ideas, no matter how it's dressed up, no matter what type of clothes, as it were, are put on to dress up a lie. It's still a lie, because your Son is the truth. Your Son speaks the truth. Your Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Your Word is the Word of truth. And so we rest in that wonderful reality. And may you help us to stand on the truth, even your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it costs us more in the days ahead than it has ever cost us in our brief time in this lie-loving, devil-deceived world. Lord, help us never to be ashamed of the truth that is found in and proclaimed by the one who is the truth, even our beloved Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray.